Today's scripture is Isaiah 55, 1 through 11. Ho, is it Hebrew for holla? Holla? Holla. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come, buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown by David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you, because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The word of the Lord.
Holla. Actually, Jerry, that's not too far off from what it means in Hebrew. It is a word just like, hey, let me get your attention. So hey, guys, I am Steph, and if you have not been here before when I preach, I like to not just end in silence, but to actually start with silence, because I think that silence helps center us and help us to be here better than most anything else can. And so I would like to invite you to kind of get comfortable. Take some deep breaths, allow yourself to release whatever happened this morning on your way to church, however pleasant or not pleasant that might have been. And after a little bit of silence, I will pray and we will jump in. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence. We believe that you are here. We pray that you would help us to be fully present here, that we would bring our hearts, our minds, our souls, our emotions, our baggage, our joys, all of it with us into this place, and that we would bring it to you. We would see how you might meet us there. We pray that you would bring the word to us this morning that we need, and that you would remind us of who we are and who you are and what life with you can look like. Thank you for the chance to be here together. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to admit before I get started that I use Evernote for my sermon notes, and at the moment, Evernote is crashing on my iPad. So this could be a really interesting sermon experience for us together. This may be a sermon without notes. So let's launch in. The passage today starts out with holla. Let's just use that word. I like that better than holla. Everyone who thirsts. And I want to start out with an all-play question right off the bat. All plays are times where instead of just me speaking, we get to hear from the room and hear what you have experienced with things. So I want to invite you to think about the thirstiest you have ever been. Maybe it was when you were out on a run and you didn't bring quite enough water with you. Maybe when it was you were sick and you were getting dehydrated. Maybe if you've ever gone to bed at night and wanted water by your bedside but forgotten, and then you're laying in bed thinking, should I get up and get water? Am I going to fall back asleep? Maybe it's that. Whatever experience that is, kind of put yourself in that place. And my question for you is, how would you describe the feelings of being thirsty? How do you feel in that moment? Let's shout out some feelings. Desperate, yes. What was that? Vulnerable. Panic, yes. Uncomfortable. Needy. Tired, all-consuming. Mad, yes. Weak, yes. A little bit anxious. So here is the uncomfortable starting point of our passage this morning. It is asking us to think about feeling vulnerable and anxious and angry and desperate and needy. There's an article that I read in the Washington Post about thirst, and one of the things it said is that thirst is one of the most potent drives for behavior that we have as humans. It's a more potent drive even than hunger is. It will cause us to do desperate things. And so when we look at this metaphor, and when we look at Isaiah 55, we have to start with a question. Do we know what we are thirsty for? Do we know what it is that is making us desperate and vulnerable and needy and angry and might be driving our behavior if we don't stop and recognize that it's there? Do we know what that thing is that is keeping us up at night? Because we have to know we are thirsty. And we have to admit what we are thirsty for in order to get that need met. But that is quite an uncomfortable thing to admit. I was recently on a Skype call with a friend and mentor, and we were having a conversation. Just mid-conversation, he looks at me and he goes, "Steph, what do you need right now?" And I completely dodged the question. I started talking about what all these other people need, what other things, you know, and I just went through that whole conversation. I completely avoided and dodged the question. And afterwards, I thought about what happened there. Why couldn't I answer it? And I realized how uncomfortable I am admitting my own neediness. I'm a 2, exactly. For those who know Enneagram, that's right there with the 2 type that Rajan read a little bit about. So I recently read the book Rising Strong by Brené Brown, which is excellent. I highly, highly recommend it. And she talks about this idea in one of her chapters. She says this: connection is the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued. When they can give and receive help without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. Connection doesn't exist without giving and receiving. We need to give, and we need to need. And so here is a risky question for an all play. But I want to dive in, and if you want to just be silent and think about this, absolutely take this as an invitation. But I want to think about what we need. So this can be something that you personally need. It can be something that you see that we need in our culture, if you want to take it out a little bit more, something a friend needs. But if you think about human experience right now in February of 2016 and your own life, what are some things that we need?
Security.
Peace. What over here first? Validation. Connection, validation. Someone over here said something. Purpose. Community. Touch. To be seen. Stability. Compassion. Oh my goodness. Someone else was going to say something. Faith. Stability, compassion, faith, connection, peace, purpose. Can you feel the thirst for that right now in this room? Can you feel the thirst for that as you look around in our culture and as you look around at your friends and family? I actually followed up with the person who asked me this question, and I decided to actually write an email and start listing out things that I needed and admit them. And so I'm going to actually admit them out loud to you right now. I said, I need to know that when I fail or mess up, I'm still loved. I need to find courage to dive into relationships without the fear of rejection holding me back. I need to remember that I'm still valuable if I don't bring my best self to all people at all times. So can we answer that question this morning? Can we start there? What do you need today, right now? So Isaiah 55 goes on to say, come, you who are thirsty, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Which is a really interesting thing to say to come and buy. So milk reminds us of the land flowing with milk and honey, as the promised land is called. Milk is something that meets our basic needs like security, food, shelter. There's just a general sense of sustenance with the word milk. But I want to do another all-play question and say, what do you think of when you hear the word wine? Celebration. Relaxation. Tired children. I saw someone on Facebook recently put a post up that says, do you know what rhymes with Friday? Wine. Yes. Wine goes beyond that idea of basic sustenance and need and takes us to a whole nother level of sacred, deep, celebratory sustenance. And God is saying, come to me. I have even more for you than you can imagine. I have it, the purpose. I have the connection you are looking for. Come to me. So what if God is like that? What if that is what God is saying to us? Come find in me milk and wine. And then the verse goes on to say, listen to me and eat what is good. And so we've talked about this word somewhat here at Genesis, here and there, but there might be people in the room who have not studied this word. So I actually really want to pause because it's a really key word in this passage. With the word good. And if you have talked about this before, we'll invite you to shout it out. If you know what the word good is in Hebrew, would you shout it out right now? Tov. Okay, we've got a good at that. Okay, we're going to be able to go pretty quickly, I think. The word good in Hebrew is the word tov. And it means so much more than we tend to look at, right, and we see the word good in English. So we can trace this word back to Genesis 1 when over and over again God is creating and God is calling God's creation good. It is good, it is good, it is good. And we see in Genesis 1, 11 and 12 that God says, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants bearing seed with their kind, and it was good. So, if you were there, if you heard, you're familiar, God does not say, let there be plants. God says, let the earth sprout vegetation. So this is another all play question, but I am looking for a particular answer. Usually these are broad. I'm looking for a particular answer. If the earth is sprouting plants, what does that mean is in the earth? Seeds. Oh, we got there so quick. It might be like our pastor might have written a book about this and has a chapter perhaps called Seeds in it. way to go, Genesis. Yes. So God creates seeds, speaks seeds into being, and from the very beginning of God's creation, God invites the earth to be a part of creation with him. He creates seeds and says, let the earth sprout the vegetation. But he doesn't say it's good yet right at that moment. At what point, if you are there, if you can remember the passage, if you've studied this before, at what point does God call that good? It's not when they are seedlings. It is further down the road than that. It is when they grow to full-blown plants with fruit that have seeds in them. Because what the word tov really means when we sit in it is that good means something that brings life and future life. It's life that brings life, that brings life, that brings life, and that God embedded in creation that ability. And that God did that not only in seeds, like in Genesis 1, but that God does that with us. That inside of us, there are seeds, and God is saying, bring that forth. I want to see you bring that into the world. I want to see the good things that can come in this world if you live out that identity I have made you to be. And we see this actually in the end of Isaiah 55, that it goes beyond just the plants in Genesis 1. So Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11 says, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word will be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So I think we have a tendency, I have a tendency, when I read the word of God, to think of it as the Bible. But the Bible didn't even exist when this was written. It was scrolls in sacred places. Most people didn't have a book in front of them. This is talking about a God who spoke life in the beginning and continues to speak life now. And when God speaks life, God is saying, that will not return to me empty. I am still looking at the seeds within you and speaking life and asking you and inviting you to bring those to life and share from within you what I have given you to give to those around you. And when we do that, something amazing happens. So if you look at your, if you've got your the scriptures in front of you from today, pretty much every single translation gets this part wrong. Verse 2, it says, listen to me and eat what is good. Do you guys see that? The Hebrew does not contain the words, what is. What the Hebrew of Isaiah 55 says is, come to me, you who are thirsty. Listen to my word, which speaks life, like we already talked about, and eat tov. Eat from the seeds within your own life and within the life of others. Here's where we find our answer to what do we do with that hunger and thirst for purpose, for meaning, for connection. And God's saying, if you let those seeds within you come to life, you will get to feast on that. And it says, your soul will delight in abundance when you do that. And I think there's more here even than just the idea of bringing our own seeds to life. I actually want to pause for a moment and ask another all play question. Since this talks about abundance, in Hebrew that's the word deshen, which has the word, I love this, some of the translations say rich food, deshen, has to do with like the fat on something, like the extra beyond what's needed into just like, you know how good food is when you slather butter on it? Like it's good, like you can eat it without butter, but when you slather that baby in butter or like cook something in bacon grease, I mean, come on, it is so much better, right? Yes. That is the idea of the word abundance in Hebrew. This is like the fatty goodness that makes everything better. And that is what your soul gets to delight in when we eat tov. And I wonder how you would define the opposite of that, the opposite of abundance, the opposite of that fatty goodness that makes everything better. What are some words that come to mind? Lack. Poverty. Dry, thirst. I think about the word scarcity, which is all of the things that you said as well, and how we have such a tendency to fear and to cling to things. And that abundance says there is so much more that you don't even just get to eat. You get to eat things cooked in bacon grease. This is like, let go and just start enjoying this. And I was listening to a sermon from my old church, and there was a guy talking about a potluck and how his wife, I don't know if you guys have experienced good potlucks, his wife, he said, makes the most amazing pasta salad that you could imagine, but she only makes it for potlucks. So what would happen is he would go to a potluck and he would guard that pasta salad with his life. He would tell everybody there, do not eat this. It is completely disgusting. Like just, you know, have you noticed over here this really good looking salad over here? Have you noticed this? Because he wanted to make sure that he came home with that pasta salad because he wanted that. He didn't want to miss out on tasting that. And he said one day, his wife had noticed this, and one day they were on their way to a potluck and she opened the refrigerator and said, honey, I made two. This is in the refrigerator when you get home. And they went to that potluck, and he said he had a complete 180-degree turn for how he responded to being at that potluck. Because all of a sudden, instead of guarding the pasta salad, he was a pasta salad evangelist. Have you tried my wife's pasta salad? You will never eat anything as good as this pasta salad. Come, taste this. It's amazing. If there's anything left at the end of the night, I'm going to like come after you guys and hunt you down because you cannot miss this goodness. So what if God is inviting us to remember that there is more pasta salad in the fridge, and we do not have to be afraid to share from what is within us, because as we do this, this is part of another dimension of what it means to eat tov, is that these words are not written to individuals. It's written to a community, because when we don't hold back and we share that pasta salad, whatever that is within us, other people get to eat from our tov. We get to eat from the delight of having that purpose and meaning lived out, and we also get to eat and delight from the gifts of others. And that is what it means to be a community together. Yesterday, I got to experience this in such beautiful ways because as I think this came up, I don't know if it might have just come up before, there was a party last night that was kind of launching this nonprofit that I'm leading, which is a pretty big day for me. And during the day, a few people from this community who knew that was happening for me were sending me texts saying, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, how exciting that you get to be here today. And I got to eat from their tov of encouragement that they were giving me. When I was there, there were artists who made art pieces that came from this beautiful place in their soul, and I got to see them and enjoy them and connect to what they said to me. I got to hear stories of what God is doing in other people's lives. I got to hear Steve and Heidi play songs that they had written and enjoy and eat from that tov. And my soul delighted in abundance, you guys. it's possible to have that. And I think we get a glimpse of that when we're here on Sunday mornings, right? We get to be here. We get to hear from the gifts of people who speak and the gifts of people who do music. We get to eat from the gifts of those who offer us hospitality, who work with the kids, and we come together in community. We get to live those things out, and we get to eat from that goodness of others. And there is so much abundance there in that. So in Lent, this might feel like an odd sort of message to give, because Lent is usually about thinking about lack, and here we are talking about abundance. But I think that this is actually what those restrictions in Lent are trying to lead us to. Because we have practices often of giving something up for Lent, because you know what happens when I do something like give up chocolate or Facebook or drinking, whatever it might be, when I am thirsty for that thing or hungry for that thing, it pushes me to pause and say, is that really what I want right now? Is it really Facebook that I'm missing? Or am I looking for a sense of purpose and validation? Is that really what I'm thirsty for? Is it really chocolate that I'm missing? Or am I looking for something to keep me company in my loneliness, and that's really what I'm thirsty for? So can we, if you are observing one of those practices in Lent, can you let that be a pause to say, what is it that I am really hungry for? What is it that I'm really thirsty for? And now what do I do with that? And we see in John 7 that Jesus actually connects right back to this passage. And what happens is on the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is a celebration that the Jewish people had to remember how God had provided for them in the wilderness. On the last day of the feast, which is the day that the priest would take a giant bucket of water and pour it out and remember how God provided for their thirst while they were in the wilderness, Jesus stands up on that day at that moment and cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I don't know if you noticed this in verse 1 of Isaiah 55, but before it says wine and milk, it says come to the waters, which isn't just water like drink water. Waters are the symbol in the scriptures of a new beginning. Waters are present at creation, and waters are what the Israelites have to cross to make it out of slavery. It's what they have to cross to go into the promised land. It's where Jesus is baptized and given his sense of belovedness out loud to the people. Waters are about so much of what we have named we are thirsty for. And Isaiah says, come to the waters and find me here. And Jesus says, come to me, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So I want to invite you, as we go into a time of silence, to think about, what are you thirsty for? And what is it within you that might be a part of finding that purpose or that connection? And what could it mean to be a part of a community where we can delight in what one another is bringing and eat that tov that God has put within every person in this room? Let's see how God meets us in that place.